Okay, how many people don't want to take a bath at Jessica's house? Or maybe even your house, because there's a shower. We love you, Aubrey. AIM. I have had the experience of babysitting many little boys who were learning how to be potty trained, and it is amazing how they... It's like, I'm going, ow. I don't feel a thing. And now for something entirely different. I appreciate the invitation that you've extended to us, Uma, to be conscious of the preciousness and the sacredness and all the things that are in front of us. And I also appreciate what's in our level of responsibility to be conscious of what we're bringing forward, and is it in fact sacred and precious? Because there are many ways in which our human habits do not magnify sacredness or specialness or preciousness. And I know I've had the experience, in because I'm a very linear, literal kind of person, that when I hear sometimes about the preciousness and the glory of everything that's right in front of me, I see, well, does that mean everything that's off color, off tone is precious? Because that's how my mind goes. It's literal, linear like that. And I think what is most important for us to acknowledge is that there is a seed of preciousness in everything, and it's all trying to become more precious. We have the opportunity, if we so choose, to bring as much of our own substance into the resonance of what's holy, and not necessarily accept that the things that we have been doing most of our life are the best we've got, because I know they're not for me. And we were talking about, as Miranda began this hour, about the power and the value of being together in conscious space, thinking together, and penetrating into our own awareness, the multi-dimensional levels that she spoke about with regards to the 49 attunement cards. When we originally started creating the spheres and the spirits and the... originally, it was just the virtues, because we were using the spheres and the virtues of the 7 days when we originally created this chart, and then we incorporated the spirits of the attunement cards, and that's all in the grid right now. But when we originally looked at this, and this was even true in the last leadership class we did, we asked people to choose one of those 49 blocks and then asked them to measure how well they were doing in that area, what would be the best they could imagine, and what was the lowest functioning they could imagine, where they measured themselves, and then how they could take steps to become higher functioning in their ability to have enlightened thinking with the people that they teach, for example. So it was an exercise of knowing that not only were there the 49, that within each of the 49 there were another 7 levels. That's a lot of modules. So when we talk about representation or thinking together, I can tell you my thinking and my own understanding is constantly shifting. And every person who spoke tonight opened, like when Cease was speaking about ministering, I have to say within myself, I'm thinking, how well have I ministered unto her? I mean, she came here 3 months ago, and I'm a minister. If I've been paying attention to her needs, so it just opens me up to the places that other people need assistance, and am I paying attention? I'm not saying anybody else has to think about that, but whenever someone's speaking, I'm always trying to push myself, not because I think I'm inadequate or not good enough, but because I know there's more. I know that I am designed to be so much a fertile tree of life that everything I do would create more life, more love, more blessing, and would create the kingdom of heaven on earth, would create Garden of Eden, it would be paradise. I think we're designed to do that. When, you know, Adam and Eve supposedly got kicked out, they kicked themselves out. I mean, they were functioning in a way that took them out of what it was like to constantly be creating that atmosphere of holiness, because they decided to do it in a better way, in their own mind. But we are designed to be in it, create it, and steward it, and watch what happens with a fertile field of people who are also interested in doing it so that something amazing is happening. And you can say I'm out of my mind, you can say I don't know what I'm talking about, but in my cellular structure, I actually feel and know that. So nobody can talk me out of it, because I touched it years ago and I really, really know it. I've had the experience of the supernatural knowing that Cease was talking about, where I was in this place of, this is really how it works. This is who I am. This is what it is to love. And if you've ever said something to somebody that settled their own heart, that's exactly what you were doing. And it's not like there's some magic that you have to do it the way I do it or anybody else does it, but to see someone, hear someone, and love them in the middle of whatever's going on for them, boom, there it is. Kingdom of Heaven's right there. Paradise, right there. I can tell you there are numerous people in this room who I just saw them, the klempt. You know, they're on the verge of sobbing, or they were sobbing, and you just go up to them, and that's all they needed was someone to hold the space or to hold them. And I don't even know necessarily what I'm going to do in the situation. You're just there, and there's tools of heaven that just show up. When I was home this time with my family, I watched a documentary called RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Story of her life. Now there's a new movie coming out in January where it's actually a movie. You know, it's not just a documentary. She's not in it. I think, I forgot the woman's name who's playing her. You know, you're getting older when People Magazine, you don't know anybody in that magazine anymore. Until you go to the death section. And there's like, oh yeah, I knew them. I knew them back when. It's amazing. It's like, who is this person? And I'm not exaggerating. I don't know half the people who are movie stars now. But anyway, in this RBG, the whole thing is about the acknowledgement that she's a superhero. And all these people who have created, what was that, the rapper, B.I.G., what was his, what was it? No, it was something B.I.G. Notorious, B.I.G. was a rapper, and so they've created the Notorious RBG. And so he always had on his albums this crown, and they've created T-shirts where it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg's face, and she's got a crown on, and she's a superhero. But one of the reasons, and many of you who are much younger than me have no idea what this woman did. I mean, because she was the one who actually brought the case about men and women being paid unequally. That there was this woman who someone put in her mailbox her pay stub and three other guys' pay stubs, and they all had the same exact job, same exact level, and she was making half of what they were making. And she brought this case, and I'm going to get all my details wrong here because there were so many cases, but some of them, what the most important thing she did was once she was on the Supreme Court, if it didn't pass the way she thought it should, she put out a dissenting opinion, which is what many Supreme Court judges do. But her dissenting opinions became this powerful force in this country because her arguments were so legitimate and so real. But, you know, the conservative nature or the liberal nature of the court determined things not based on fact but based on politics, which, as we know with the Kavanaugh thing that just happened, how much the Supreme Court has become a political arena as opposed to a legal arena. She is the one that made it legal for men to take care of their children if their wives died in labor, because it was against the law. The companies did not have to pay fathers to take care of their children, but they had to if they were women. And so she fought for getting human beings to be equal in all kinds of arenas, not just for women, but for men as well. The reason I bring it up is, like, here is this person who had, she was tiny. She was, when she graduated from law school with her husband, no one would hire her. But she was on the Law Review in her second year of law school because she was one of the smartest people in the school and the most logical understanding of the law. And all these men had to promote her just so she could get a job. And then she got a job, and then it was Bill Clinton who got her onto the Supreme Court. She was not in a circumstance where it was easy. She was not in a circumstance where her words could have fallen on dead ground, but she just wouldn't have it. And I'm saying she was a very meek and quiet person, but she knew she had something to do with her life. And it might seem funny to bring it into this context, but I would say there are ways in which when you see people and when you see the reality of what needs to happen because of your life, if you don't bring it, the world will not change. It will continue to see things through the limited scope in which it has been believed is real. She pointed out that women work second-class citizens according to the way the laws were written. And you know, in this day and age, that might seem funny, but it was true in my youth. The things that she pointed out about how women were treated as second-class citizens, like the women's wages were considered pin money, and men's wages were considered the bacon for the house. So there was no reason to consider what women got paid as having anything to do with their job. It was just their pin money, which meant so they could spend it on little things on the side. I don't know about you, but doesn't that make anybody, any other woman in this place go, oh my God. Yeah. It's in our lifetime. It was in our lifetime that segregation happened in schools and integration happened in schools and people died because of that. This is, where can we go in the next generation that is as dramatic as what's happened in my life? How about we go from where we are now to what's real, to what the kingdom of heaven looks like on earth, because we are actually living into it and saying, absolutely not. This is not the way human life is supposed to be. It really touched me when Miranda was saying, people don't know what to do. They don't know how to help. They don't know what the answers are. They feel the pain. They see the misery, and they're at a loss for how to bring their gifts and to change the world. I mean, one of the ways we can teach them is to see them and let them know that they're valuable just by bringing love into the world. Not all of us are going to be on the world stage, but I would say maybe some of us are supposed to be. And if it's you, I don't want to waste your life. Let's see if you need to be on the world stage by bringing your gift and see where it takes you. See what happens when you stop thinking in the limited ways of it just doesn't matter. What Uma had us go through, everything you do and say is sacred and precious. Every opportunity is an opportunity to bless. One of the first things I learned when I met emissaries of divine light was it didn't matter what you were doing. Everything was important. If you were baking bread, if you were leading this ministry, if you were pickling pickles, if you were in the garden, if you were doing it consciously with love, it was changing the world. And I believed it then, and I believe it now. Conscious function changes the world. Everything then becomes a miracle because you were there. I mentioned at the manager's report how when I did my niece's wedding on Friday, people came up to me saying they'd never seen anything like it. And for us, any of you who were there would have been, what was the big deal? I mean, this is how we live our lives. Seriously, because all the stuff I said was not that fantastic as far as we're concerned. But many people have never heard the fact that blessing the couple who's getting married mattered. You know, they were going to stand by this couple when they were going to face harder times. It's like, wow, I wish someone had said that to me when I got married. I mean, not in a self-centered way, but that's a sacred thing. You know, one of the reasons weddings happen is so the thing is witnessed and supported. And most people have forgotten that. One of the things I did was to acknowledge that almost everybody in the room had a part to play in the man and woman who were standing in front of me. That they became the people they were because of the influence of everybody in that room. So own up to the fact that these people found each other and are now going to create something more because of how you contributed to making them into the man and woman they were. Now, again, that's not something unusual for us to say, but for other people to say, wow, I did that? If you're saying that into your world, you're inspiring people into their own greatness, into their own ministry. As Cees was saying earlier, they have something to give, and somebody has to remind them sometimes that they are here to do a very specific thing. One of my patients today told me he gets up at 4:30 in the morning because he spends his first hour of every day in prayer. He does happen to be a minister. But still, I mean, that's dedication to... He says, I can't have a day without communion with God, and he does Bible study, but prayer. Dedication to staying focused in what his life is about. I'm not saying that that's something everybody should be doing, but what are you doing? Whatever it is, do it. Do it so that you stay centered and focused and radiant and powerful. My niece who got married, I've heard from at least 10 people, they would say, oh my God, Jane, she looks just like you. And it's like, I hope that's a compliment. You know how when you see somebody who's older, you think, oh God, I'm going to turn into that. Well, I know that I don't mean it in the most harsh way that sounded, but I kept going, really, it's not so bad. Get rid of all these wrinkles. But I had my Aunt Jackie, who was my father's younger sister, people always say, you look just like her. And I was like, really? But the, I'm not sure exactly why I said that. But I just thought, well, she's really cute. Maybe I should be, you know. Oh, I know. I'm not being terribly self-judging about the way I look. But it's one of those things, the way in which it affected me was, it magnified for me my connection with her. Not just genetic, but that there's something that when people are comparing her to me, it's because of her spirit, which is like me, more than even the way she looks. I mean, yes, she has curly hair like I do, and she laughs the way I laugh and stuff like that. But I know when I see people, it is the spirit that I see. And that's what they're seeing, that she is more like me than anybody in my family. And for her, may it be a blessing that I could have led the way for her to be herself more and more and more. She doesn't have to be like me. She just needs to be herself. And any way in which you can assist somebody to pour themselves out, to pour out the fruit of their tree, the seeds from their being, so that this garden will be lush. We do need to call out ourselves when we are planting bad seed. I need to do that, because there are times that bad seed gets thrown because I'm not paying attention, and I need to own it, and I need to weed it, and I need to take care of it. And I need to remember that which I am sowing and throwing, because we throw the seeds in places we don't necessarily know where they'll land. We need to invite people. Let's do it. You might need to be a movie star so that you can get your job done. You might need to be on the world stage. I don't know. There was a young girl who grew up here. Her name is Courtney Shire. She was a stunner. She was... more like a daughter to me than any child I've ever known. But she went to California to be in movies. She just now has moved to the East Coast, because after being 30 years old, 31 now, she decided that there's more to her life than trying to be that. But I remember thinking, I was concerned about her being disappointed, that she would invest all her life trying to do this. And someone just said to me, but why wouldn't she? Why not hold the doors wide open for the possibility she could be that? And it really taught me something about not being limited in what I see as possible for anybody, including myself. Let's pour it out and be a blessing, and be conscious of the fact that how we live the rest of this evening matters. So thanks for being in this conscious consideration together and how much you contributed to what could happen. Thank you.